disturbed over a high percentage of accidents, so they decided to eliminate human errors by building a completely computerized plane. "Ladies and gentlemen," came a voice over the PA during the initial flight, "it may interest you to know that you are traveling in the world's first completely automated and computerized plane. Now just sit back and relax, because nothing can go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong. Go wrong." Folks, we all know that things can and do go wrong in life. And you don't have to live very long in this world to find that out. And for some people, things seem to go wrong more often than not. Life can be very difficult. Bad things do happen to Christian people. Many times we suffer in this life. We may have to suffer physically or emotionally or mentally. Believers, we need to understand that everybody suffers in some form or another in this life, and for some reason or another. Life can be very rough. Solomon put it this way in Ecclesiastes 2:22. "For what has man for all his labor, and for the striving of his heart, with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful, and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity." You know, we may experience rotten or broken marriages, problem or prodigal children, painful and abusive parents, bad working conditions, financial hardships, poor and failing health, boredom, depression, loneliness, loss of loved ones. And the list can go on and on. We all have burdens to carry in this life. And in Galatians 5, Paul talks about life's burdens and how we are to deal with them. Look at Galatians 6, chapter 1. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load." What can we do about our trials, about the temptations that we face? Or we could ask it this way: can we endure the temptations and trials of life? How can we endure them when they're constant, when they're so various? How do we get through the different struggles we face? Well, let me make it very plain to you, folks. We need help. We need help. God never created us to be independent islands. We need each other. We need help. Where does our help come from? Well, from three sources. It comes from others. It comes from within. It comes from ourselves. There's times we just need to help ourselves. And there's times, all times, when our source needs to be God. And we want to look at those three this morning. First of all, we are to help each other in bearing life's burdens. We're to help each other. The main point of Galatians 6, 1 through 5 is given in a general way in verse 2, and then in a specific way in verse 1. Verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." If a Christian brother or sister is weighed down or menaced by some burden or threat, we're to be alert, we're to be aware of that, and to quickly do something in order to help. Don't let them be crushed. Don't let them be destroyed. We're not to be like the scribes and Pharisees, who in Matthew 23:4, Jesus says, they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Don't increase the burdens of others. Make them lighter for people. Some of you wonder what you're supposed to do with your life. You know, what is my vocation? What is my meaning? What is my purpose? Let me give you a vocation that will bring more satisfaction to you than if you'd become a millionaire. Develop the extraordinary skill for detecting the burdens of others and devote yourself to daily making them lighter. That's the main point given in the general way in verse 2. Bear one another's burdens. But in verse 1, Paul had given one specific kind of burden and how to help a person bear it. He says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass..." Now, we tend to think of burdens as sicknesses, unemployment, loss of a loved one, loneliness, rejection, etc. And that's right. And if we are really controlled by the Spirit of God, I think we're going to be about the business of helping others to bear those burdens. But Paul shows us in verse 1 that burdens include trespasses, sin. Folks, the absolute truth of the matter is that all men are sinners. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is certainly a reality in every Christian's life. John says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. James says, for we all stumble in many ways. The question is not the reality of sin, but rather, what are we to do when our brother sins? At the heart of the matter, sin is a crack in the wall of holiness and purity. Without those two items in our personal lives, we are stamped null and void in our usefulness and our service to God. And that's the penalty of sin in the life of a believer. He is rendered useless. And sin doesn't have to be willful and deliberate rebellion against God. It often is, as the text indicates, a trespass. This is the Greek word paraptomai, which has the basic idea of stumbling or falling. You know, most often, I think the Christian doesn't commit trespass with predetermination, but on the contrary, he fails to be on guard. He's not protecting his life, and he falls into sin because he's flirting with temptation or getting too close to things that he shouldn't be. But just in case anybody reading this is now playing around with the wording of this verse and saying, well, my translation says trespass, which really isn't as bad as sin. I mean, trespass sort of just happens by accident. You know, it's a lot easier to forgive a brother who trips and falls into sin than one who yells Geronimo and jumps in with both feet with a smile, right? Well, it's talking about sin here. And the Greek word, paraptoma, can mean error. It can mean a slip, a lapse. But it's also used of intentional transgression, sin. What is the Christian brother to do when he encounters an erring, sinful brother? Does the text say to gossip about them to other people in the church? Does the text say to avoid them so their sin won't rub off on us? Are we to look down on them with contempt? No, the text says we are to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And for the record, the word restore is not an old English word for reject or burn at the stake. It means restore. You know, when our children are young and they fell down, their greatest immediate need is to be comforted, to be lifted, to be supported. Rarely did we say to them, well, suck it up, just get up. And I did say that occasionally, but most of the time we would go to their aid and help them, embrace them, let them know they're loved, give them assurance, tell them everything's going to be all right. And so it is to be with our brother when they fall. Regardless of the nature of the fall, Paul says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, spiritual here refers to those believers in the Lord who are walking in and controlled by the Spirit of God. This is a reference to the inner strength and power that Christ alone gives to the believer. Restoration is both impossible and impractical for those believers who are not walking in the Spirit. Maturity in the Christian faith is relative. It's depending on one's progress and growth. But spirituality is an absolute reality that is unrelated to growth. You understand what I'm saying? You could be a new Christian and be spiritual. You could have been a Christian for a long time and not be spiritual. At any point in the life of a Christian, from the moment of salvation, he is either spiritual, he's walking under the control of the Spirit of God, or he is fleshly, he's just letting the flesh control his life. And only a spiritual person is capable of restoration because it's a supernatural work of grace. Fleshly believers are self-centered and self-serving. They're afraid to forgive because they really don't understand God's forgiveness. In Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated, He proved His love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God forgave us while we were sinners. In other words, we were caught, we were held captive by our sins. And until we understand the true nature of God's forgiveness toward us, we don't have the capacity to forgive and restore others. The word restore here is the Greek word katartizo, which actually means the mending or repairing of a net or of a broken bone. It's used in the setting of a bone, the mending of a net. In other words, it's an integral and necessary part of the healing process. And the word restore is in the continuous present in the original language, suggesting patience in the process. The restoration of a sinful brother is always done by helping the brother recognize that his trespass was indeed a trespass. We don't gloss over sin. But once they have confessed their sin before God and turned in repentance to God, then we offer forgiveness. And it's our responsibility to restore them. And it says the restoration is to be done in gentleness, which carries the meaning of humility and meekness. You know, we can't be critical and judgmental as we seek biblical restoration. To do so would be to cancel the grace of Christ in our own lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility." Then it says this, "For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." If we want God's grace, we need to learn to walk in humility because God resists the proud. And notice the warning in the text. It says, "Lest you also be tempted." You know, if we're critical and carnal in our efforts to restore, we ourselves are prone to stumble. And I think this is a gentle but forceful reminder that even spiritual believers can stumble and fall. It's not enough to simply give words of encouragement and hope of our forgiveness and restoration to the now forgiven brother. We have further responsibilities. Once that brother has been restored, we need to come alongside him and we need to lead him back into fellowship by helping him. Notice what Paul says in verse 2. He says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bearing one another's burdens reminds us that no one is an island. As spiritual men and women, we are called upon to make ourselves available to our brother for accountability, for encouragement. Too often it's easy to say, "I love you, I forgive you," and then just simply brush it off. Many years ago, Henry Ward Beecher went to the pulpit to preach, and he found a letter containing one word, "fool." He calmly, quietly announced the contents of the letter to the congregation, saying, "I have known of people writing a letter and forgetting to sign their name to it. But this is the first time I've seen someone sign their name and forget to write the letter." You know, brethren, Christians should be in the business of helping one another, bearing one another's burdens. But some Christians are more critical than they are caring. They're more a hindrance than a help. Paul says our burden-bearing fulfills the law of Christ. Now let me ask you, believers, what is the law of Christ? What's he talking about here? What's the law of Christ summed up in one word? Love. Look at Galatians 5:14. Real strong verse here. It says, "All the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The law of Christ is a law of love. In reverse, failure to love nullifies the work of Christ in us. Jesus said in John 13:34, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." You know, someone has rightly said that Christians are the only ones who shoot their own wounded. That's true, I think. We do. Gandhi of India is credited with saying, "Show me a Christian, and I will become one." What's he saying? But Jesus continued talking to his disciples in verse 35 by saying, "But by this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one for another." The way we treat those who have failed is an indication of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us desires, craves, and wants to be in fellowship with Christ. We want to know that He will indeed be with us through the circumstances of life, but too often we're not willing to help bear the burdens of others and show love towards them. We Christians are to be in the business of restoring. We're to be in the healing business, the putting back together business, the bearing burdens business. Everybody, folks, makes mistakes. Some appear to be more serious than others, but the point is, when a fellow Christian makes a mistake, is found in sin, etc., how do we respond to them? How do we feel about them? So whether it's a trial or sin, We're to help our brothers and sisters to bear the burdens of life. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. One hot day, Herman Trueblood, all clean and cooled off by a nice swim in the ocean, he saw a sweating man and his two sons trying on a hot day to push his disabled car up an incline. Two voices started yelling at each other inside his head. One said, "There's an opportunity for service. You ought to help that man push." The other voice protested, "Now that is none of your business. You'll get yourself all hot and dirty. Let them handle their own affair." Well, he finally yielded to the better impulse. He put his shoulder to the task, and the car began to move, and it kept on moving. A simple thing then happened which Trueblood never forgot. He said the father stuck out his dirty hand, and Trueblood stuck out his dirty hand, and the father said, "I'm very glad that you came along. You had just enough strength added to ours to make the thing go." Years have passed since that hot day, but I can still hear that man saying, "You had just enough strength added to ours to make the thing go," Trueblood reflected more recently. "There are many thousands of people struggling to get some heavy load over the hill, and I probably have just enough strength added to theirs to make the thing go." You know, just knowing that you care, just knowing that you're there to help in a way, might be all the help another person needs. Believers, we're to help bear the burdens of others. We're to be there to encourage them, to support them. And in doing so, we're fulfilling the law of God. We're living out what Christ has called us to do. We're to be there to bear one another's burdens. But I want you to also notice in this text in Galatians, verse 5 says, "For each one shall bear his own load." The King James also uses the word burden here. Now, verse 5 doesn't contradict verse 2, because the reference there in verse 2 is to a heavy, crushing load. In verse 2, the word burden is the Greek word baros, which has the idea of more than a man could carry without help. In verse 5, the word load is from the Greek word fortion. This word is used to designate the pack usually carried by a marching soldier. There are certain Christians' responsibility or burdens that each believer must bear, which cannot be shared with others. Paul is saying that we have to take responsibilities for our own burdens at times. There are many burdens that we have to bear by ourselves. In 2 Thessalonians 3:8, Paul says, "Nor did we eat any man's bread free of charge, but we worked with labor and toil night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you." Paul says, "Hey, look, we took care of ourselves financially because we just didn't want to be a burden." And folks, there's times when there's things we just have to take care of ourselves. A man in a supermarket was pushing a shopping cart which contained, besides groceries, a screaming baby boy. As the man proceeded down the aisles, he kept saying, "Keep calm, George. Don't get excited, George. Don't yell, George." Well, a lady watched him with great admiration, and finally she spoke up and said, "You are certainly be commended for your patience in trying to help quiet little George." "Lady," he said, "I'm George." Raising kids, folks, as you know, can be a burden at times, and it's a burden that basically we have to bear. You know, our parents can help us. They can give us advice. They may babysit occasionally, and others can do the same thing. But overall, raising children is a burden that is on our shoulders. It is our responsibility. This is true in many things in life, in our work. You know, we may get some help in our work, but overall, it's a burden that we personally have to bear. Over the years, the Nike Shoe Company has produced some great commercials. One that I like appeared over 10 years ago. It involved a runner, and it was a commercial for their running shoes. English runner Priscilla Welsh was 42 years old and had just won the New York City Marathon, which is a pretty big accomplishment for a 42-year-old. In the commercial, Priscilla was shown running up a hill in some city sidewalk. And while running, she says, "A few years ago, I would have had trouble walking up this hill. I smoked, I drank, I was fat, and I hadn't done a lick of exercise in all my life. So I started jogging." Who says you can't run away from your problems? And the end of the commercial, a sign appeared on the screen with those famous words, "Just do it. Just do it." Brethren, there are times when you just have to suck it up and you just have to do it. We can't lean on anybody else. We can't expect anybody else to help us get through it. We need to roll up our sleeves and we need to go to work. We need to face the difficulties of life, understanding that God will give us strength, but we need to face them. Several years ago, 27-year-old Lance Armstrong did something nearly impossible. He won the cycling world's most famous event, the three-week, 2,700-mile Tour de France race. 2,700 miles on a bicycle. I couldn't do that if it was automated. Just sitting that for that long on a bike, I couldn't do it, all right? What makes his win even more impressive is the fact that he did it after a three-year bout with cancer. In 1996, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer, and by the fall, he was not racing his bike. He was trying to survive his cancer with what it had spread to his abdomen, his lungs, and his brain. He had two operations, including brain surgery. He endured 12 weeks of chemotherapy. With such a burden, who could believe he'd ever compete again? Well, he did. Lance Armstrong rode 30 to 50 miles every day between chemotherapy treatments. He did everything he could to regain his health and his strength with the idea of becoming a winning cyclist again. And did he ever succeed? Now, he just won the third year in a row, Tour de France. 3 years in a row. Nike Shoe Company has run a series of ads making the point that Lance Armstrong is the first dead man to win the Tour de France. Lance Armstrong bore his own burden. I mean, he realized this is difficult. It is tough, but there wasn't anybody that could help him. They couldn't put him on that bike. He had to get himself going and push himself to do what he wanted to do. And folks, honestly, there are times when we act like a bunch of wimps or a bunch of babies. Oh, we whine and we cry about the sin. Oh, I can't do this. We got a stuffy nose or a little headache and we didn't sleep last night, so we want to stay home from work and we can't go to church and we can't help this person. Sometimes we have to ignore the pain, the hurt, the negative feelings, and we just need to bear our own burdens. I think we can do a lot more than we think we can. We need at times to bear our own burdens. And not only are we to help each other bearing life's burdens, but we're also to bear our own burdens. And as Christians, we can do both only as, now this isn't in the text that we're looking at this morning, but we can do this only as we give our burdens and other people's burdens to the Lord. What is the best way you think you could help another carry the burden and carry your own burdens? Prayer. It's prayer. What could you do more for somebody else than really pray for them? Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." A person may be able to help themselves, and other humans' help may be good, but folks, it's not enough. Now we need to learn to trust the Lord, to turn to God, to ask for His mercy and grace for our burdens, to pray that God would give us the strength to endure. Yesterday morning, I was working on this message, and I received a phone call from a dear friend's wife. She told me that they had been in an accident the night before, and she was just distraught. I could feel the pain in her voice. This friend had had back surgery several times and had just recently, 2 months ago, had a procedure which relieved him of pain for the first time in probably 5 years. And then they were rear-ended, and his back spasmed, and the pain was running, and all her hope went out the window. I could feel the desperation. And when I got off that phone, I haven't felt that way, I haven't felt the grief I felt then since my father died. I mean, as far as grief and agony and loss, and I got on my face before God and just cried out and begged God, please minister to them. I got on the phone, I began to call people, please pray for them. Gary stopped over, and Gary and I just got on our faces before God and both just cried and prayed that God would minister to their hearts. And I talked to Rob last night at 10 o'clock. He said, you know, I'm doing much better. He said, I went to bed that night and I was distraught. I took pain medication. I went to bed. I got up. It was worse. I went to the hospital. He said, then around noon, things just began to get better. And I said, you know, that's when we started praying. That's when I started calling people and said, pray. That's when we started going before God to bear their burdens. Abraham Lincoln once said, I have been driven many times to my knees by overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Have you ever been there? You ever done that? Got on your knees before God because there's nowhere else to go. Lord, you got to do it. You got to help. You know, the problem with us too often is we only turn to the Lord God in emergencies. We act like He's a spare tire. It's only to be taken out in times of trouble. If we're going to help others with their burdens, and if we're going to carry our own burdens, we had better be looking to the Lord for the strength to do it. Because only He can provide that. You know, a boy and his dad were hiking together on a familiar path. As they made a sharp turn in a narrow section of the path, they came across a big rock blocking the path. The little boy asked his father, do you think I can move it? His dad said, why, of course, if you use all your strength, I'm sure you can move it. So the little boy chose the angle of attack on the big rock and he began pushing with everything he had. He grunted, he groaned, summoning all the strength he had, he pushed and pushed to no avail. Finally, in desperation, he said, you're wrong, Dad. I just can't do it. His dad looked him in the eyes and smiled and said, no, son, you haven't used all your strength yet. I'm standing right here, and you haven't even asked me for help. Aren't we there too often? We're not using all our strength because we're not calling upon the Lord. Matthew 7:11 says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Brethren, in the midst of all our heartaches and burdens, our Father in heaven is saying to us, I'm right here. All you have to do is ask for my help with your burden. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Believers, the Christian life is all about love. That's what it's all about. It's all about loving God and loving each other. And one of the ways that we demonstrate love is by helping to bear the burdens of life. Some burdens we need to bear. Others we need help to bear. And we need wisdom in our Christian life to discern when to come alongside, when to help those people. You know, yesterday was just an incredible day. The grief I experienced over my dear friend and just the prayer that went up for him. And then a friend from Nags Head called to talk to my wife, and she sensed that my wife was having some struggles that day. And so she said, I'll be right there. She jumped in her car and drove an hour and a half just to be there so my wife would have someone to talk to because she sensed that she needed someone to be with. I'm like, that's what this is about. It's about bearing one another's burdens. It's about being there for each other, helping each other live the Christian life. And we got an opportunity coming up here, as Rich mentioned, Monday, a week from tomorrow. Maury's going back to court. You know, Maury doesn't even know anybody in this country. And last time we went to court, he looked at us and he said, you guys are my family. We are his family. You know, and how encouraging when he goes to court to have a couple lines of people sitting there just saying, hey, we're here because we care about you. I know last time the lawyer, the judge, a lot of people were just impressed. Who are all these people? We're his friends, we said. And they were just like, man. Now, they keep continuing it, so let's just keep making a bigger crowd go back until they deal with the situation. You know, but they said, the last time his lawyer said, all y'all, come up here and just sit right behind him. Just a show of support, show of love. Folks, there's a lot of times in life when we need to bear each other's burdens. We've got to be sensitive to that. There's times we need to just suck it up and take care of things ourselves and not be whiners. But always, always, whether bearing our own or other people's burdens, we need to look to the Lord for the strength and the power to do what only He can give us to do. As Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple. You have love one for another. Let's pray.